You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
In July 2005, a call for an international boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign against Israel was launched by more than 170 Palestinian community organizations, unions, and political parties. Their model was the successful international boycott campaign launched against apartheid South Africa. A range of organizations around the world have responded positively to this call, some beginning steps towards divestment in corporations that support Israeli policies, some endorsing boycott measures. Defenders of the Israeli government have denounced all these initiatives and castigated those who put them forward. This issue came to the fore in Canada when approximately 900 delegates at the QP Ontario Convention passed Resolution 50, supporting a boycott campaign. To discuss the decision of the Ontario members of the Canadian Union of Public Employees, popularly known as QP, I'm joined in the studio by Catherine Nastowski. She is a QP member, and she is chair of the International Solidarity Committee of the Ontario Division. Welcome to Co-op Radio, Catherine.
Thanks.
Before the May convention of QP Ontario, the Ontario Division took some stands on the issue of Israel and Palestine. What kind of positions did they take before?
The first resolution that was passed was in 2002 at the Windsor Convention, and it was a resolution to end the occupation and to do some education work around Palestine and the occupation.
I know QP is a union which has a lot of different divisions, BC and so on, for different regions, and then it has a national. Did other branches of QP, divisions of QP, also register opinions on the issue of Palestine and the national union?
BC has been very vocal on this in terms of doing making providing a lot of the resources, putting a lot of money into making booklets and doing educational material for members, which has been really useful in our organizing in Ontario as well. I think their resolution came also sometime 2002, I think. It was also an end the occupation and education campaign resolution. In terms of the national, there was a resolution that failed in 2001. I think it was about 60 to 40. It was debated on the floor in Vancouver. And in 2003, there was a resolution passed, an end the occupation resolution.
So this decision by QP Ontario does come in a background of sort of ongoing attention to the question and prior resolution.
Yeah, definitely.
And how did the motion on the boycott come to the convention in the end of May, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, the way it works is locals, district councils, and committees can submit resolutions by a certain date, and then they go through a process where they're put together in a resolutions book, and they're evaluated by a committee, and then they prioritize what makes the floor and in what order. This resolution was actually put forth by our committee, by the International Solidarity Committee, by three locals, three university locals, Carleton, York, and OISE, and also the Toronto District Council, QP Council.
The last one must be a large body then, the Toronto District.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
So I mentioned that there have been other organizations, other kinds of sectors outside of unions that have done responded positively to the call from the Palestinian organizations. Could you give us a little information about that?
Sure. I guess the leading force have been actually churches who have taken this up. There was an international conference in November in Toronto by a group called Sabil, and it included a lot of active members from the United Church and various, I think maybe the Unitarian Church and some other churches in Ontario and across the world. There was an international conference discussing how to move forward on the boycott divestment. There was Jeff Halper from Israel, a very prominent Israeli activist, and others there who are just kind of trying to flesh out what the campaign will actually need to look like. And That it's actually going to be making the floor, I think. Or I don't know the process in the United Church, but it's been passed. A boycott divestment resolution has been passed at the Toronto level, and now it's moving to Ontario. So they've been really at the forefront of it within Canada, at least. I'm not sure the rest of the world, but.
Right. And what about other sectors of churches, unions? Have there been universities themselves or academics that have responded? I'm not saying in Canada, just internationally, I was curious.
There have. I'm not sure. The only one that I've really read about was this past resolution that came right after our resolution was passed from teachers union, I think it was professors in Britain, which is an academic boycott. Ours is it's a general boycott, and what that's going to look like, we're not sure yet. But that was more of a specific academic boycott, and that's been going on for a number of years, I think, from various, mostly European, I think it's been mostly European professors and academics, yeah.
Now, just from your own point of view, if you have resolutions already on the occupation, implementation of United Nations resolutions that have been passed relevant to this situation, you have calling for an end to violence in your motions, etc. So why go to boycott?
Well, there's various reasons that have been raised in terms of why. I guess the primary reason is that other tactics haven't worked, so the International Court of Justice declared the wall illegal. There are various resolutions that were passed in the UN, and there just has been no response. And it just keeps getting worse. The wall keeps encroaching on more and more, annexing more territories, and there continue to be continues to be such levels of poverty and exploitation and violence in the region perpetrated by the Israeli forces. So it's just such a dire situation that it needs to, the campaign, I guess, need to be stepped up.
Now, people have that are supporters of the Israeli government responded, I think, critically when resolutions on the ending of the occupation were passed and so on. But it seems that it's reached a new level of attack when QP took the decision to go that extra step and say, to be effective, we need to introduce boycott, sanction, divestment, all these practical tactics, then it seems that sort of people hit the roof, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it's one thing to be doing education on the ground and having a kind of policy in place on paper. And yeah, it's far more threatening than to actually have members actively campaigning. Yeah, so I guess the responses have been, pretty nasty. I personally had to change my phone number from the nasty hate messages I was receiving at home and stuff. So it was pretty organized pretty vicious. Although it's kind of died down a little bit now, personally, in terms of targeting particular people within the executive board and myself and other members, and has become now a more public and organized campaign to, I think the B'nai B'rith has a petition online that they're trying to get people to sign on to, and also calling for the division to sit down and have a meeting to reverse it. So there's a lot of pressure also national reps and staff, QP staff, who are being pressured, lots of phone calls into the division all the time, and to the other divisions. I think BC just put out a statement because they've just, the amount of calls they're receiving from the lobby after the Canadian Jewish Congress put out their action alert, to just be, ongoing phone calls and lobbying. So, yeah.
Is there any indication that other Canadian unions may be considering a similar motion themselves?
We hope so. I think there is some positive response from members within the Postal Workers Union. A few members have indicated that they will be bringing it forward to their next national convention, which would be really exciting.
Now, on the other side, there has been statements of support within Canada and internationally. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's been really exciting. It's really nice getting emails from all over. The ones from Palestine are really nice. There's some of them are just kind of break your heart, and we've received letters of support from the South African Trade Union Federation, as well as various members from European unions and from the U.S. as well. And
South Africa must be particularly significant because that union has itself waged in its history an important battle against apartheid, in which the Israeli government was in fact a supporter of the South African government maintaining that racist system.
Yeah, and they were actually the first to join the boycott. I think it was actually before it was launched officially last July. They had already signed on, and as a whole federation, I think they're over a million members within that union federation had already been endorsed, and also were just strongly behind trying to move it forward and being actively involved in developing the campaign.
Well, thanks a lot, Catherine, and telling us about that, and best of luck with sustaining the position you've taken.
Thanks a lot.
I've been speaking with Catherine Nostovsky. She's chair of the International Solidarity Committee of the Ontario Division of CUPE, and you can check the Red Eye site, and you'll find a link to the CUPE Ontario site. We're at cooperadio.org/redeye, and then click on Current Show for June 10th.